When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Yeah. Welcome to J.Ill, a production of iHeartRadio. Yeah.
Hello, Dom. Hello, Dom. Welcome to Jill Scott Presents J.Ill. My name is Jill Scott.
My name is Aja Graydon.
My name is Laia St. Clair.
What's up, everybody? Today, we are going to be talking about what your mama told you about sex.
I'm ready.
I bet you are. Am I ready?
I'm not. I don't.
Okay, I'm going to tell you this. My mother absolutely, without question, kept it all the way gully. Yes. She was like, there's a difference between screwing and making love.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that you get a chance to do both.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
What age was that? Lord.
Well, I must have been about 17.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, but from the beginning, I was on the porch. I was the little girl on the porch. Girls have a vagina.
Yes.
Boys have a penis.
That was me.
That was me.
Mm-hmm.
That was me. Did I know what any of that meant? No, but I knew my parts.
Yes. Knew my parts.
And I
yes.
knew that nobody was supposed to touch my private places.
That's right.
Yes, that's what I knew. That was the beginning. That was just about, you know, boundaries. But when it came to sex, she was like, all right, look, do the best you can to do your dirt all by your lonely. If you're going to date somebody, if ever, you can only date one boy in the neighborhood for life. So be wise if you're going to choose somebody from the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she said to watch their nails. She said a boy, you know, might have dirty fingernails. You know, you certainly don't want him,
ew.
You know, playing in
yes.
your girlfriend.
Ooh.
And you certainly don't, you know, watch out for hangnails and such. And you
damn,
should
Jill,
watch.
You mentioned this before. Every time you do this, you make my coochie feel funny. Yeah. Go ahead.
Listen this is what she told me. She said, watch for a boy with a dirty neck. If he has a, if he has a dirty neck, then he probably has a dirty penis. That's what she said. Because he's not cleaning himself properly. And if he's, you know, ignoring his neck, which is something that can be seen, then you can only assume that the rest is not as clean as it should be either.
Let me find out the neck is an adolescent precursor to the adult booty when they get up from the toilet and they don't wash their ass. That's like with the grown men, you know, like if they don't wash. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. But, you know, sometimes men leave the thing on them. Okay, because they don't. Like, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And she said it was the neck, the fingernails, and she said watch their gum lines. Mm. Because if it looks like a guy has a bunch of crud on his gum line, you certainly don't want him to kiss you in the mouth. And you definitely don't want anybody going down on you with nasty gums.
Was your mama talking about that too?
Yes, my mother was a dental hygienist.
That's right.
You know, so these things were a part of our sex conversation. That's what the woman said.
I think that Susan and Joyce may have been kindred spirits, for lack of a better term. Because I tell you, that conversation about boys don't wash their hands. Because my mother, we started out our conversation. She was like, there's such a thing as called, there's petting and there's heavy petting. These were my mother's words.
Petting. Throwback.
She said, there's petting and there's heavy petting. Now that petting, that's over the clothes. She says, heavy petting, that under the clothes. She says, now that heavy petting, let me tell you something. Boys don't wash their hands after they pee. They don't wash their hands before they do anything. They're nasty. She said, I know that little vagina is calling out to the world. I want to be happy. I want to be touched. But just remember that boys don't have the same type of habits that you got. So she told me that early on. Like when I first started getting my cycle and was really starting to, she thought I would probably be having little feelings and this, that, and the other, you know. But she was really, 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 like, forward about all that stuff. The only thing she didn't talk about, and I will say this, go ahead to your mama. Because my mom, we have a conversation about oral sex.
Yeah.
So I was a little older.
Older
about that particular one. But she was also very open about her experiences and how she, you know, grew as a woman and her sexuality and just how she didn't really know a lot because of the, you know, some experiences she had when she was young that were traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then she also talked about, you know, what are some unhealthy habits in men around affection and sex that I should be looking for? You know, so she would talk about things like, you know, just how men respond in intimate settings, you know, just to be very cognizant of men who are very possessive around after you've been intimate with them or even beforehand. She was like, you know, just watch it because the intimacy makes that worse. And she was like, you know, that thing you got, that drive, that, you know, that thing, they might already have a, you know, a predisposure for some craziness.
Right.
You give them the happy box and they lose their whole mind.
These are some amazing conversations. It's so funny. I don't know if it's the weed or what, but I cannot remember having a conversation with my mom about sex until maybe after I got pregnant the first time. Because in my mind, which was the year after I first started having sex, but when I started having sex at 15 years old and I was a junior in high school and my boyfriend was a senior. And I remember I went to his prom and he was my first and I made sure I had sex before I went to the prom. But I remember when my mom tells this story back, because I was supposed to come home that night, but I didn't, because, you know, we went to the hotel. But my mom tells the story back and she's like, yeah, you know, I knew Laia was out partying, doing stuff like that. I didn't think that she was like at the hotel. So she, I wish she was here, because I was like, I feel like it wasn't until the next year when I was having sex with this guy at Howard, because I went to high school across the street, that I feel like that's when we really started getting into our sex talks. And then that's when we started taking the birth controls and things of this nature.
I hid my face.
Oh, wait.
I hid my face for, I managed to get by for about a day and a half before my mother looked me in my face and was like, I was like, oh no. But I knew she was going to see it. I knew she was going to see it. So she called me out on the porch And she was like, so you and are having sex now? And I knew that this was the question, but I shook my head no and answered yes. Yes. She said, well, are you using condoms? That's what she said. Quote unquote, condoms. I thought that was funny, but I better not laugh. I was like, yes. And she was like, okay. Do you like it? And I was, shook my head no. I was like, yes.
You like, oh, like that.
I did. I knew that I would, though. I knew that I would.
The first time, Jill? Like the first time?
Yeah.
I didn't dislike the first time.
Y'all didn't have a sense of pain. I remember a little bit of pain and resistance because...
Well, the first guy that I was with cared about me. I mean... You know, so it was genteel.
He was my boyfriend too, but I just thought that because that place had never been entered before, I took some gymnastics.
Oh, that hurt.
That's the part I was like, yes.
Oh, be clear.
Be clear.
That hurt. Yeah. But after a while, I was like,
oh,
this is what she's been talking about. And I, you know, I said to myself after, I said, okay, you know, I tried it and I'm not going to do that again. And about 2 weeks later, I was a hot cat humping on the door. Like, I want to do that again.
And again.
And again. And again.
And again. And again. And again. And again. And again.
Yep.
Ain't have an orgasm till 10 years later talking that shit, y'all.
Who?
Oh. If you was having an orgasm as a teenager, I am going to fight. Like, there's no
I don't remember that.
I just need you to understand.
I want you to understand
my mother. The conversations, it started with there's a difference between making love and screwing.
Yes.
And she, oh God, please don't kill me, Mom. I'll never forget this. This is actually a highlight. I was sleeping, minding my own business, and I wake up and my mother is on her knees in front of my face by the bed. And I, you know how you can feel when somebody's looking at you? So I open my eyes and my mother's like, she says, can you see?
Yes.
I was like, can I see what? And she goes like this. That Dr. blah, blah, blah is a wonderful lover.
I love her. I just love her. This is a whole TV show.
I could see in my mother when she had been, you know, screwing and when she had made love, I could see the difference in her.
Wow.
That's interesting.
And we would have these conversations over Manischewitz in the basement listening to Millie Jackson. So I had a pretty good idea the difference between the two.
Millie Jackson.
She said that screwing was about you. Screwing is about you. Making love is about the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And making love is so, so, so much better, in her opinion. So I had a pretty good idea of what that was. And then I'm going to say that I was pretty aware of my body and I knew what pleased me. So I would, you know, actively search out that thing,
so,
you know, that place, so that I could experience that. I wanted that often. And then I found out that there were many different kinds of them.
I was about to say, because I feel like as a young person, I definitely knew how to self-satisfy myself. But even in, you know, it's the whole coming versus orgasm thing. So... But the orgasm part still came later, even though the coming part, are we doing too technical?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Listen, this is grown folk conversation.
Yeah.
It's intended to be. This is conversation to spark conversation. Just in case, if by chance you're listening to J.Ill and you don't know why, we're telling you and talking to you and talking amongst ourselves, you know, about what it means to live. We're living and existing and learning and sharing. So, yeah.
I think I had a sense of, and maybe not had the language, but I definitely feel like I had a sense of the difference between like intimacy and just kind of having sex to relieve.
That's the word. The ones, here to go.
You know, to relieve myself. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the right word, but the difference in that actually came from my dad, believe it or not. Something that my father told me. My dad was kind of like, and he told me in a very male, black boomer way. So this is not romantic what he said. You know what I'm saying? And it's a little bit off subject, but I kind of got what he meant. He said to me, he was like, you're just like a guy. You're going to want it. You're going to have your reasons and you're going to do whatever, whatever. He was like, hey, men and women are not really that different. He was like, you know, he said, but my thing with you is if you just got the feeling and you need to get rid of that feeling, then just make sure that in your mind, you understand that that's what that is. He said, what I see a lot of women do is they attach their rest of their actions as an aftermath to them just kind of doing what they have to do for their pleasure kind of thing. He was
and
like,
this is where you became a pimp.
This is where I became a pimp, because he was like, because my dad was in a lot of ways. I mean, sorry to anyone who was in a relationship with him at the time. But the point is that, you know, he was just kind of like that. You got to be able to know the difference, baby. You can't be attaching all of the activities of being somebody's woman to somebody who you just getting your thing from.
Can we please cue the hand clapping?
Yeah.
I need to hear cheering and hand clapping like you're in a stadium right now.
So that changed my life, because I was just kind of like, well, it wasn't him giving me permission to go have a bunch of teenage sex, but he was just basically saying, I'm not going to be able to stop you from wanting what you want. And I'm just saying, what I don't want to see is my daughter out here playing herself. That's really, that was in his mind where he was thinking, like, you know, you dedicate those emotions and that time and energy to somebody who's not just there to service you sexually. Mm-hmm. And his words were, don't be out here writing nobody resume and driving them around in your car. And then, you know, that's what he, you know, but as I got older, I understood what he meant.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, there's a difference between those two things. He, you know, he didn't have the language to say intimacy and making love and all of that. He was just like, listen, and he told me this too. My father told me this word for word. Don't be letting no nigga sleep at your house. Don't let him leave his stuff at your house. Don't ever, and my dad told me these two things explicitly. Now,
listen, young ladies, all ladies.
My dad told me these two things explicitly. He said, never let a man know that he can get a meal at your home.
So when did you first cook for 15?
Yeah, because I'm like, so when do you cook?
Then he said, he also said this. He said, don't ever spend a dime on a man who's not your husband.
I don't know, Daddy.
I like it all.
I'm trying to tell you.
I like
these are
it.
Not like that one.
All.
Listen what I'm saying to y'all. I'm not telling y'all not to sift through it. This is old black man talk. This is the thing y'all gotta... Y'all, come on now. This is old black man talk.
Right. You're not gonna agree. You, I love it.
You're not going to agree with all of it. But let's maybe try to unpack it a little bit. What he said about the food is this. My dad always had a thing about a man should be able to feed himself. A man should be able to take care of himself. If he believes that he can get his essentials from you, what service is he to you in your life?
True that.
You don't want a man that can't come up with his own meal, who expects to eat on your dime, who expects to eat in your home. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if you say, hey, come over so I may make you a meal. But it's another thing for a man to show up at your doorstep around dinner time and think he about to sit at the table with you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Cue the church music, Eve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was shouting, so this should be shouting as well.
And the thing about the money was that my dad, believe it or not, my father was an attractive man. He had a lot of relationships over the years. Some were legit and some of them were opportunistic. And so he basically was telling me, he was like, look, your husband, that's who you make a financial commitment to in terms of you spending out of your wealth. He was like, that's the person who deserves that. That person who you feel is in a partnership with you. Otherwise, he on his own. What he need you to buy him something for? What for?
Huh.
It's just a gift, Dad. I just wanted to give him a gift.
I think that's so doggone wonderful.
I wish. But it was interesting. A lot of those things shaped my early thoughts.
I wish I could start over right now.
Ricky was a mess, though. Ricky was a mess, though. I love my father. I really do. He dropped a few gems on me. I will not lie.
Mm-hmm.
But he talked real straight, very straight with me. So that kind of hardcore talk about men and sex actually didn't come from my mom. It actually came from my dad.
I love your father, and I appreciate him so much. And I love this message. Real rap. I feel like we have just... Listen, I mean, I'm going to say we, because I was here for it. I'm going to say, Aja.
Oh, she got spirit, Lord.
Like, listen, I'm trying to... I really feel like you just saved a whole rack of women, a whole lot of trouble,
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of trouble.
You know what? I do see your father's point now. I'm starting to think, oh, I did give away some things. Maybe that's why I never had a husband. You know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, what if you never had a husband? But then I was like, well, maybe that's why you never had a husband, because you was doing these things. Okay, thanks, Daddy.
Well, I don't think either is linked to each other. I think it's more so about the quality of how you interact with people and what you get from it. Mm-hmm. So you may not end up getting married, but you know, it's just about kind of feeling and understand how you're going to move and how you feel mm-hmm. when it's all over. If it does come to a close, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, what did I invest in this? And do I feel okay with that? You know, and so that was, I think, where he was coming from, where it's like, you know,
what you invested in, if you feel okay with it. If you're okay, if you can sleep at night, if you don't feel like somebody tried to play you or somebody play you, that can put you in a box of just not believing in yourself, you know, searching for something that, you know, may or may not exist. I think that you just saved a lot of people. I'm so excited.
But then the flip side is, too, don't bring your baggage, too, because I also was thinking, I was like, man, but you also don't want to be dwindled down who you are as a person when it comes to, like, your giving and your love. You know what I'm saying? Because what can happen is, too, is you one of those people, and then you're like, well, you know what? The next time, I ain't going to get this shit so easily. But I don't know. It's like a weird balance.
But, you know, enter my mom, honestly. For real.
Right, because you said your mom gave everything.
My mother was the opposite of that. And that's why I took a little bit from each of them. Because my mother would say, hey, I will never allow someone else's inability to love me to dictate how I choose to love. I have to be true to myself. So I think that's really what Aiyah is saying. It's like, you got to be true to yourself,
mm-hmm.
even down to the bare kind of rawness of sex. You have to be true to who you are in that space. You know what I mean? So she did used to say that too. You know, for me, I would say how I took both of those things was that my dad always talked real kind of tough like that. So I always knew, I'm like, all right, Dad, like I got part of that. You know what I mean? But I think for me, it was just more so about, I got to know what I want and uh-huh. be clear who I am going into the situation. If this uh-huh. is just sex, it's just sex. If I'm invested emotionally, I'm invested emotionally. But I got to keep it 100 with myself and be honest with myself. I don't always have to announce that to the other person. I just mm-hmm. allow who I am to dictate how I move. And truth be told, I told my daughter this a week ago. She's 18. And I was like, and I've had some really raw conversations with her. And I basically said, listen, always ask yourself the proper questions, sis. And whatever you're doing from that moment on, let your actions reflect the answer to those questions.
Word.
Don't be out here lying to yourself. If you want this dude and you want him to be your man, don't be sitting up there acting like you really don't want him like that. Don't lie to yourself like that. Because here's the funny thing. The gag is he knows you're lying. And every day you stay in that knowing that you want that and you allow him to say that he doesn't, every day you stay, he knows you stay in a day into a lie. And he loses respect for you every single day.
Preach. Ooh, what y'all think about this one? Because my...
Ooh, Aja,
let it sit for a second. Let it sit for
Let that resonate. Listen, that is like, it's the rules of engagement. And I think that this information empowers a lot of women it empowers a lot of women. These are the things that our mothers said, you know, when it comes to sex. Mm. We talked about cleanliness. We talked about the difference between intimacy and screwing, because there is a huge difference. And we talked about the whys of having sex with someone. Like, why? You know, the important questions. Who? Why? And what's the other important question? Who? Why? And there's one more. And for what?
And for what? I admit, though, many times, especially when I was young, those things didn't always click. Now, come on now.
Oh, you know, that's taking long. Take a while. Get to say them, but you still got to figure out how to get to it.
Right. Yeah.
But these young women are a lot smarter, you know, than I think they know. And if they have the tools, then they can make better choices. I'm not saying that they will. I'm just saying that they can.
They
can. Because this is game, baby. This is game.
This is game.
All that.
Full on,
all
baby.
All of it. All of that is game. Hold on. You know, and when you hold the cards, you really can. You can win. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
I love this.
So on the hold the cards thing, I know for the longest, my mom has always said to me, you know, it's nothing wrong with him loving you or being in this just a little more than you are.
You are. My grandmother said the same thing.
Which I've been chasing for a minute because I love hard. So even when you try to consciously go in and put a little bit of pullback, after a while,
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. I get why our generation of parents told us that. But in the long run, it doesn't work. It doesn't.
Here's what my grandmother said. My grandmother said that the man is supposed to hunt. He's supposed to hunt. You're not the hunter. He's the hunter. So no matter what it is that you're doing out here trying to find your mate is going to find you. And it's up to you, just like with the lions and mating in Botswana.
Yes.
Back to Botswana.
My place.
Yes. Botswana. Back to Botswana. Just like with the lions mating in Botswana, it's up to the lioness to decide if she's going to take him or not. And if he steps incorrectly, she's going to smack the fuck out of him and have him bleeding on the face going, you know, and then he's got to try again. And this time it's going to be a lot gentler. This time it's going to, you know, he's going to think more than react.
See, this is why Bumble don't feel natural. Just
it's why what?
Bumble, the app that the dating app where the woman has to make the first move. This is why it don't feel natural.
Well, I don't know. I know I got a girlfriend right now living with her man. She loves him dearly. They met on that app.
Did they?
Yeah, they're a lovely couple.
Yeah.
I know a couple that met on Black People Meet or something like that.
Like in the last 10 years?
Yeah.
People still, because it's a lot of uncles over there. I heard OK Cupid. I know somebody got married off of OK Cupid.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I don't know. I can't call it, but because I've been married twice and divorced twice, and I only got one more in me.
Three times is a charm, girl.
That's it. And after that, I'm Gucci. After that, and I don't want to think about after that. I don't really want to claim after that.
Yeah, ain't no after that. Mm-mm. It's just forever.
No, I mean, I cross all my bridges when I reach them.
Mm-hmm. I feel like my mom and the other women in my life, because let me just bring that up too, because I had hella aunties.
Mm-hmm.
My aunties used to go hard. Like, my aunties went in on me. So I knew a lot of stuff from them too. So I want to make sure I big them up. But I feel like I was pretty, like, informed going into my early 20s, and particularly for that time for me being married. Oh, I gotta tell this story, y'all, real quick, because I didn't. My grandmother was a G, for real, and I saved this because we was talking about grandmothers in another episode, and I said, nah, Aja, hold that for the sex episode, sis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard, but my grandmother, yo, she had a man. Her man was Murray, right? And we all used to be, you know, thought it was funny. Like, you know, my grandmother got a boyfriend. He had a little pork chop sideburns child or a big old Cadillac.
Mm.
But Murray was that beast. So, and at Christmas time, Murray would buy all the girl grandchildren cabbage patch dolls.
Yes.
Murray had some coins.
Yes.
Oh, Murray had money. Child,
with
their
papers? Okay.
Listen, with their
papers. With the cabbage patch dolls, with the papers.
Real cabbage patch.
Nice.
Okay. Awesome. It's $85.
I used to share my girlfriend's. I would babysit my girlfriend's cabbage patch. Just so I had one.
Right. So yeah, my grandmother always, you know, amazingly had conversations with my mother about their sex life. Now, mind you, my mother admits this to me way later. Okay. But anyway, fast forward to my grandmother. I'm getting married. When I said I was getting married, everybody was like tripping. My grandmother was very much in support of this. My nana comes to me right before my wedding. She said, baby, come here. Let me talk to you for a second. I said, okay. She said, listen, this is what I want you to do. She said, later on tonight, after you get to the hotel, I want you to fuck his brains out.
Yes, Grandma.
I promise you, my nana said them words to me on my wedding day.
Was there nothing following? I want you to fuck his brains out. That was it.
That's all she said. She dropped that and walked away like a G. I was like, is she serious?
You know what? For you, Grandma, I will.
So, no. Y'all know what I did, right? You know what I had to do? I had to snitch. I went to my mom.
Oh,
I told
shit.
My mom. I'm like, mom. And so she started laughing. She like, child, listen, I could tell you some things she done told me about her and Murray that will wear you out. She said, you're not even ready. I'm waiting for you to get married. Did I tell you? Child, I know things about my nana's sex life that no grandchild should know.
Damn, I'm jealous.
But yeah, that was wild stuff. I knew the stock in which I came from come that day. I said, oh, okay.
Knock him out the box, Rick. Sorry, that's all I can think of.
Out the box, Rick. Knock him out the box.
I said, baby, my nana has said...
Oh, that night you told him to stop, about to knock it out the box. You ready?
Girl, that was you. We always joke about that we got pregnant that night. He talking about, I knew I got you pregnant that night. Men are so trifling. I hate boys. Boys are so terrible. Oh, I know I got you pregnant that night, girl.
I love them.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
He is a hot mess.
I'm missing mine.
He's like, oh, I'm missing mine.
Oh,
look at you. I heard you, nigga.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
You can cut that. Cut that.
Everybody set up a little different on that conversation.
Yes. It's like a sit up on something. Yeah, so yeah, mama taught me stuff.
More real talk after the break.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
I I know that I don't know Vanessa Del Rio, you know, but she has to understand wherever she is. I just want to thank you for being like a sexual mom in a way.
She's basically a part of the show at this point. You know,
I talk about her so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I really, really appreciate that she knew what she wanted to do and she did it without, it didn't matter to her about anybody's opinion. She's lived the life that she wants. And I don't know what the repercussions are. You know, I'm still, the book is like 700 pages. So, you know, I'm still reading it. And then I have to hide it because there's pictures in the book.
Oh.
So I got to, you know, find a spot to be by myself, you know, to make sure nobody walks in on that. Because the pictures are quite something.
It's funny.
But nonetheless, like, I feel like she said without saying, this is good. This is healthy. Sex is fun.
Oh, and George Michael.
And okay. you should go ahead and get yours.
Just wrap it up, yo.
Just yeah. Get it. Not having somebody get you, but you get what you want and need out of this.
And let me ask y'all
really
something.
It.
I feel like for the most part, we seem to have had some not necessarily sexually repressed adults around us. But I saw a post on social media recently when they were talking about women kind of pushing back at a lot of the messaging they get from spiritual spaces, and particularly around like church and places like that, where they're like, look, if you stay pure and you do this and do that, that you're going to find this mate that's going to be great for you. And a lot of times that doesn't work out, and they feel duped around conversations they've had about sexuality and the link between a woman's sexuality and her morality. And I don't know. I mean, I wasn't raised around heathens. I mean, people were definitely spiritual, went to church and all of this different stuff when I was growing up. But there was still a normalized conversation around the fact that, okay, you probably will do this before you get married.
But that's probably why, because you probably didn't grow up in a straight. I know I didn't. I grew up in more of a spiritual situation. We might hit church once every other month or so. But they all, my family, my mother used to be Muslim, so she always claimed, you know, spirituality. But I think those that are in a more strict situation, that's when that kind of comes into.
Yeah, like when their mother ain't told them nothing. It's just like, don't have sex. Don't do that.
And I've seen that. I mean, I know a 57, 58-year-old virgin, you know.
We also know a freaky-ass PKs.
Yeah, that too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That y'all too. Don't know that y'all set them kids loose in the world.
Yes.
Yep. And you didn't give them any insight into what sexuality means and the cost of it. You didn't prepare them in any way, shape, or form. And they went off to college and came back, you know, scratching, burning, or pregnant. Or all mm-hmm. of them. Mm-hmm. You didn't prepare them. It's important that they know, you know, what's going on and how to navigate, you know, their own sexuality.
Yeah.
I think it's hard not to make kids scared. You know,
I'm going to tell you that my mother showed me the Encyclopedia of Venereal Diseases.
There was one? An encyclopedia?
There absolutely still is.
Yeah.
A very thick book full of all kinds of venereal diseases with very graphic photos.
My mom didn't show me. Guess where I saw it? I saw it at school, because we used to have to take sex ed.
Yeah, we had that book in school. What was that 1970s book, the thick one, where it showed everything from like childbirth pictures, like not even drawings. Oh, y'all remember
this? We had sex ed at Girls High at the time, but it was primarily the parts. It wasn't the action. You know, it was just like,
I had like the weirdest childhood ever, because I promise y'all, I just want to shout out to Miss Carr, who was my gym teacher in primary school.
Gym teachers, always the sex ed teachers. Hilarious.
Yes.
Always.
She was my gym teacher in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got to fifth grade, I want to say either fifth or sixth grade, which was the time where they assumed all the girls would be having their cycles, they sent a letter home and said, hey, you can sign this letter if you want your child to take sex ed. And my mother signed it, and I went. And when I was in sixth grade, not high school, not middle school, sixth grade was when I learned about sexually transmitted diseases, pregnancy, how you get pregnant, the parts of your vagina, your uterus, all of that. Learned all that before I even went to middle school. They got to bring it back. I'm sorry. I agree. I will sign the paper in 2.2 seconds.
I agree.
Because most of our parents had that joyous sex book, too. Did your parents have that joyous sex book?
Yeah, my mom did.
Yeah, I remember sneaking and reading it. I'm really still in shock that there's no sex education in schools.
There's no music either. Unless you go to a music school. Like, it's really, really nuts. And them taking out physical ed, you know, gym. There is no gym teacher, so there's no sex ed. Like, taking out cooking class.
Oh, shit.
You know, home economics.
I loved home ec. Oh,
I did,
God.
Too. Remember the biscuits?
Shop. Yes.
Shop.
That's how I learned how to make snickerdoodles. In the tartar. Oh, okay. And shopping. We made the cars. Remember the little the triangle cars with the race cars?
Hold on.
I was a bit of a delinquent by the time we got to that class.
You was too much busy pimping in the hallways. I'm sorry, Asia.
See, I should have never told y'all about my secrets. See, that's the thing. When you try to share your secrets with people and then they want to throw that back on you every time.
Well, I'm just going to tell you that is what happened. That is exactly what happens on this planet. You think you're trying to share something or help somebody else because you've come to an understanding. It's going to get thrown in your face like crazy.
All right, y'all. What was the first conversation you had with your mama or an elder woman in your life about oral sex? And I ain't talk about him going down on you.
That was a conversation I did not have.
I just remember telling my girlfriends. Remember, I told you I remember being the first one. It was, you know, 93, but. You know.
I think so. Some things have to be conversations with girlfriends. It's not a mama conversation.
You've been having them conversations with your kids, Asia?
What, about oral sex?
Yes. Yeah. How do you do that? What's the talk? What's the goal in the conversation? To be better or to be protected?
No, I think the main thing is about them understanding that you can contract.
Okay. You tell them to put a condom on? Because
that you can contract that way, that there are condoms that don't have spermicide on them that are specifically for that. But then also, too, the conversation around just the fact that certain things are associated with intimacy, right?
Yes.
And so there is a thing to consider about how you get to intimacy. So for me, it's not just a conversation just about, oh, this is a thing that people do in sex. Let's talk about it. It's like there's something that happens in a sexual experience where you land in a certain place. And so it's important for me to have a conversation about, well, how do you think someone lands at that form of intimacy?
So more too, like, when does that person deserve that? Like,
when is that something you desire and not something you are doing for response and reaction?
Right.
There. When are you doing something because that is something you desire sexually? So there's a real kind of conversation about the pathway to certain experimentation as it comes to sex. Because one thing about women is that we do have a lot of things that we're willing to do sexually that have nothing to do with something we desire. It's like, I got to keep it fresh, or I got to keep it hot, or I got to be like this woman or that woman, or they talked about it. This is what girls are doing. And so in order for him to think I'm sexy, I got to do that. So to me, I want to kind of erase that thinking and say, let's recenter your needs. So a lot of times with my girls, I talk about recentering your needs. And I talk about this with my boys too, about life. Every environment you go into, you have to remember to recenter your needs, not in a selfish way, but in a self-awareness kind of way. So that's the thing, was like, for me, is like, yeah, well, you know, and I'm not trying to say that every conversation is appropriate for a young girl. But I do think that it's important that if your kid possesses even a fraction of that language outside of their interaction with you, it's your responsibility to address it. And it is likely that your kids have this language way before you're ready to admit that they do.
Ooh, Asia.
It's a deep breath. And then you tell the truth. you know, as much as possible.
Because when did you really start liking giving oral sex? As that's so interesting that you say that, because it's so valid. It's like, when did you really, as a woman, start enjoying giving oral sex? It wasn't initially, it usually isn't right at the moment when you start.
No. Well, my mother said two things. She said, now that I think about this, mm-hmm. one was, not everybody can go. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can go. Mm-hmm. And so what was the other thing? Probably something really, really important. But not everybody can get that.
Yeah.
That's not for everybody.
Right.
Just like, you know, for our young men, you're not supposed to have your head between everybody's legs either.
That's right.
You know? So that's
but you all do
one.
Realize that though that may be our own personal value, that also to even that is indicative of a very kind of specific value around sex and sexuality. There are mm-hmm. some people who look at that as just another part of the sexual act, and that placing so much importance on it then kind of continues to perpetuate this idea about what is right, proper, moral, what makes you a good girl and not a bad girl.
We're still in a very heterosexual bag in this conversation.
And we are still in a very hetero bag
right
now.
Yeah. We are.
A lot of it, who's to say, your pleasure can be wrapped up in any number of different things. So at the end of the day, I'm always thinking with young people, it's about helping them to understand that it's always about a conversation with yourself, discovering who you are, what your needs are, and being focused on that so that the person who you are with is clear that that's what this is about to a degree. Not in a selfish way, but just that knowing yourself helps you to know that person also. You know what I mean? And be a fair and equal partner in what's happening. No matter what the outcome of that situation, whether it's a relationship or it's just an exchange of sexual energy. Like, people just, you know.
Sound heavy being a young person today.
My physical mother told me that not everybody can get it. My porn mother, the great Vanessa Del Rio.
Yes, ma'am.
She taught me.
Yes, to porn mother.
Yes. She taught me that you are supposed to orgasm from everything that you do. And if you're not getting pleasure, then you should not be doing it. It's a pleasurable act, right?
Right.
And if it doesn't please you, then this is not what you should be doing or who you should be doing it to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, porn mother.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm straight.
Agree.
I'm good, yeah.
I mean, I agree. I don't think I'm doing my kids any favors from dealing in respectability, because respectability erasure. And I don't want my kids to go silent on me, and I don't want to erase them in my mind and my consciousness. So that's not, I'm not interested in that.
Right. It's not going to help you or them to be silent because you're trying to be morally correct or prudish or whatever it is. I don't know. You could throw 1,000 glossy covers on it. Your children are going to have intimacies. They're going to have sex. Whoosh. They're probably, they're going to fuck somebody.
Mm.
They are.
You just made all these parents just go, oh, Lord, Jillian. Oh.
But it's true. And the better you prepare them, the better off they will be. Period. Period.
And they won't go jack up somebody else's kid.
Yeah.
How about that? How many young men were taught to get it? You know, by any means necessary, go out and get it.
Mm-hmm.
How many men in general have messed up a relationship with a great woman, you know, because they were just trying to get it? They didn't stop. They didn't think. They weren't present. They just trying to do it. And that's it. You know, that happens. It happens quite a bit. And it's a shortcoming, quite frankly. That's my opinion.
I agree.
Because as a human being, you're missing out on so much. Yeah, you can screw. But be upfront. Be clear about what it is that why you're here. And then with the information that you gave, Aja, it's teaching young women. And my age, too.
Mm-hmm.
don't just assume because you're having sex with somebody that it means more than what it actually does. You're getting some stress relief.
And I think it's important to add this to the mix.
Add it.
1 in 4 women will experience some sort of sexual assault.
Yep.
And so there is trauma around sex. And many times these things happen in young women's lives and young men's lives, and their parents don't know. So the conversations their parents are having are not from the lens of that my kid could have been already victimized or will be in the future.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that normalizing conversations around sexual trauma also is really an important part of helping your children to be free in this space and free themselves in those spaces. Because as we all know and have discussed in other places in this podcast, that we can carry those things into our adult life and they can affect our relationships for the whole time that we're here. So, you know, if the key is to have this really healthy kid, you got to be open to that's a human and that human will come in contact with all kinds of different experiences, people, and know many things about themselves. So, you know, you got to be ready for all that.
And again, there are 3 women on this podcast and all 3 have been sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm. I will say that is one of the things that my mother told me about sex is after I was sexually assaulted, she said, you know, unfortunately, baby, she was like, this is something that most women go through. And that was an interesting moment. I was like, hers was on a date. You know, everybody has a story. So you're right. We got to have these conversations.
Right. And honestly, and I have not had this experience before, but I think it's important too. And this is probably a whole nother conversation. But in the Black community, like how we have conversations about sexuality and sex with our children who are queer, or and LGBTQ. So I think that's really important as well, because I feel like you said you put the nail on the head. We're coming from very heterosexual lands today. Mm. And obviously that's our experience. So we should speak on what we know and not on what we don't. Mm. You know what I mean? But I think if you're talking about what your mom told you, or you're kind of functioning in a mothering space, which all of us have, those of us who have biological children, those of us who don't. Bottom line is that you're doing plenty mothering. And the idea here is that we know that all kids are different and all young people are different and they're going to be different adults and they have different experiences with sexuality and with sex.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Forgive me.
Oh, no. Just if that's your only space, if you're only ready and open to talk about one particular kind of experience, then that is a form of silencing that person and erasing that person. So you got to be really aware of that. And that's something that, you know, that even I'm still trying to, you know, wrap my head around as well.
And this is where the village comes into play. Because, you know, I can only speak on the things that I know and they have experienced. And, you know, this is when you pull in auntie or uncle or homie friend or whatever the case may be to have a conversation that you're not prepared to have. Because you just don't know. But they need to know. It's important that we send our children out into this world armed, as well armed as possible. I do wish I had your dad. I do wish your dad had told me, you know, the rules of engagement. I mean, that right there, I hope somebody, you know, can replay this and listen to that again.
Mm-hmm.
I should have stopped and said, hey, get your pen and your paper. Get your phone out and jot this down in your notes. Like, these things are super important because, damn it, life will take its turns.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly will.
We all bring our stuff with us, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And along with our baggage, and Laia said it perfectly, along with our baggage, but we do also bring our intentions, our good intentions.
Yeah.
And it's a very human space and vulnerable space to talk about these things, and particularly with young people. Mm-hmm. And if we embrace that vulnerability, I just really think we're going to be in a great position with them.
Yeah.
If you take the positioning with young people, like, I know what I'm...
Yeah.
You know? Then if people couldn't see my face. The positioning, like, I know what I'm talking about.
I know everything about everything.
Everything.
Right. You don't know nothing, young boy.
Yeah, you're gonna turn them away from you, and they're not gonna talk to you. And you need them to communicate, and they need to hear your voice, mm-hmm. and they need to hear your village's voice as well. You get to choose as a parent who they talk to, you know. Far as adults are concerned. Now, when it comes to kids, you know, they get a lot of information too, and a lot of that stuff is trash. It's grass, and you certainly do not want the 14, 13, 12-year-old girl who has been sexually assaulted in her own home to talk to your kid about what sex and sexuality mean, because she doesn't have the same mindset that you will. It's a dangerous thing, but sex is beautiful, and it is a healthy and important part of our lives. And I'm grateful for the things that my mother shared and grandmother shared with my mom. And I'm hoping that you mothers out there and you daughters remember to share with our young'uns, because they need us.
They do.
And our boys do too.
We'll be back after the break.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Coming up next on the show, What's on Your Heart? An occasional segment where we check in with people we respect about how they're really feeling.
Hold on, y'all. I think there's somebody calling. That must mean it's time for
What's on Your Heart?
What a pleasure, what a pleasure. We have somebody on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Laya, can you explain who is here with us right now?
Well, of course I can explain. We have the creator of the Black Moms blog. She also is the writer of the book that you need called Oh Sis, You're Pregnant, The Ultimate Guide to Black Pregnancy and Motherhood. And my favorite thing that she does is sending folks on retreats. Yes, she has created the ultimate retreat with the self-care retreats. Ladies and gentlemen, tell everybody who we have on the line today.
Thank y'all for having me. My name is Shanisha Boswell. I'm like, how do I follow up the introduction? She hit all the points. I am the creator of Black Moms Blog, where we talk parenting, culture, and lifestyle from a Black mom's point of view. We are a global community of more than 500,000 wonderful, wonderful women from all over the world. I just wrote a book. It is an Amazon bestseller, Oh Sis, You're Pregnant.
Yes.
The Ultimate Guide to Black Pregnancy and Motherhood.
Congratulations.
This is the Black What to Expect When You're Expecting. And I also have a retreat company which I just finished doing work for. We have 4 retreats this summer, 3 in Jamaica and 1 in Colombia.
So, coming, nice. Coming.
That's it.
I think you need 3 hosts.
Listen.
I think you need one. No, excuse me. You just need the one. You just need the one host.
She's like, just bring that's me. All you just need is just me. The
one.
Got you.
One for every location. So let's go. Yes.
I know that's right. I got them, y'all. I got them. But yeah, thank you for having me.
I love
me.
It.
That's fantastic. I appreciate so much that you saw the need because, right, you have what to expect when you're expecting. You have Joe Frost, you know, the nanny or super nanny, you know, but yeah. to see that there was a need and to address it, being a mom is hard. Now, throw in being an African of descent mom up in there. There's a lot to deal with and a lot that is misrepresented.
I agree. And I think for me, it was also like, where my mama's at? Is everybody mama?
At heart.
Mama at heart, great auntie. I know all that. Aunties are amazing.
Oh, yes. I am an awesome auntie.
You're an awesome auntie. Yeah, so
that she
you
is.
Know, I have my daughter at 23 years old.
Oh, wow.
And everything that I read online or I saw, it was like my belly's getting bigger. My feet are spreading. My nose is spreading. But there wasn't anything that spoke to me as a Black woman. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, how do I talk to Black women about empowerment using their voice? But then those very real conversations about, like, what do I need to talk to my OB about? How do I pay off my student loan debt? Anthony Hamilton has a part in the book where he wrote a letter to Black fathers, empowering them and telling them what it's like. Because y'all know, being a Black parent in this world is not just the typical conversation of, oh, I'm happy. One day that child's going to be an adult. And so how do we talk to our kids about that? And then just motherhood in general. How do I get my groove back? Because I'm a sexual being, right? Isn't that what got me here?
Yes.
Amen.
And so I can't stand that part of motherhood that we act like sex doesn't exist and it's not a real thing. But I mean, come on. What were we doing when we got pregnant?
Right.
So, Hello.
I hear a lot of Black mothers in particular say, I live for my children.
And that's crazy.
Oh, I think so, too.
It's crazy.
Girl, I wish they could have seen the look on your face. See, honey, because the hair got pushed back and the face went, no, we don't do that.
You hear that.
We don't do that here.
You hear that a lot.
What's the remix to that?
The remix is there is a separation between motherhood and womanhood. And you cannot forget your womanhood. It is not the same because My belief is I don't live for my daughter. I live for myself. And she benefits from seeing a happy, healthy and well-rounded mother. I teach her about peace. I teach her about self-care now, because at the same time, when we're talking to moms all day long about find your peace, sis, do this. How when your children are running around the house like they're crazy? OK, you can't do that. And so once again, like we said earlier, like a part of me teaching my daughter about anything is teaching her about her self-worth and understanding that a big part of her self-worth is understanding who she is and why she needs her alone time. Before I got on this call, we just had a whole 30-minute conversation about hygiene and taking care of her body because of how she shows up in the world. And so not to divert, but going back to that, yes, there is a huge difference between who I am as a mother and who I am as Shanisha. I'm a whole person and I'm 32 years old. You know, and so a large part of my audience is they're millennial moms. And I'm like, you're not old. You're young. You still like to go out with your friends. Don't feel guilty about that, but handle your business so that you can do it in peace and comfort without the worry of, you know, oh my God, I gotta, you know, figure this out. So, you know, all of what I do, and that's why I have the retreat company, because I was seeing all these women. Majority of my attendees are mothers, but a lot of them are just women. And I'm like, sis, come on here. And let's gain some truth so that when you leave here, you know how to go home and know that you're still a person that deserves some love, attention, respect, and care from those around you. You're not just a mama. So we talk about that in the book.
Yeah.
All Beautiful. Of that.
I think it's so fabulous that we're getting to this point where we're starting to really be super clear about separating these roles and being really intentional about how we treat ourselves as women outside of the role of mother. But I think, you know, what's really kind of fascinating about, you know, just kind of about this point of view that you're talking about is that, you know, it's just really about being seen.
Yes.
It's like Black women have a hard time being present and seen in the room. And so all the different things that over the years have made it harder for us to be seen in motherhood, although it's a beautiful thing. It can be a thing that tends to overshadow who you are as an individual. And a lot of mothers are not seeing.
Yeah, we're afraid to take up space.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
We're so afraid. Mm-hmm. We're afraid to be loud because what do they call you when you're a loud Black woman? They call you ghetto. They call you unworthy. They call you. We just have all these negative, sassy, angry. And it's like, how many times did I say this quietly before anybody cared mm-hmm. to hear me? And now that I'm roaring, now I'm the problem. And so for a lot of us, like, we're afraid to take up space. Simply put. And in the motherhood community, I used to say that, you know, I'm a mom blogger. That's where I started off. I've become so many other things. But mm-hmm. I started off as a mom blogger. And what I was seeing was, I felt like all I saw were mothers, like white women. Mm-hmm. And then the Black women were like white women with brown paint poured on top. They still weren't Black. You know, they were like, I'm just trying to squeeze into this little, you know, this little category. And I was like, no, I'm going to create a platform called Black Moms Blog. And everybody was like, why would you do that? why would you isolate yourself in that way?
Wow.
Why would
you
title it that way? And no one's going to want to work with you and nobody's going to want to do this.
Who
and I was like,
that? Who are these white people?
Oh, these were Black.
She said, these were Black people.
That's why I said, why?
I have noticed over the years that a lot of Black mom bloggers have steered away from being specific about their Blackness.
Yes.
Talking about the experiences as Black mothers. It's this very universal. And even though I find it beautiful talking about it, regardless, seeing Black faces in those spaces are always, you know, a breath of fresh air. But it's good to know that you're being super intentional about it.
Yeah.
But even outside of your work, I mean, we know what you do. You know, this particular part of the show is really about what is on your heart. And so please tell us, my darling dear, what's on your heart?
You know what? Okay. I just ended two relationships with two different men.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
One was a platonic and the other one was a, you know, a thing thing, right?
A thing thing.
And I had to let it go. And it was because, you know, I feel like I'm super great at manifesting things in my business and my friendship because I listen to my intuition. But when it comes to men folk, I suck at love, y'all. I am such a fixer. And because I'm a fixer, I'm always trying to fix. And I fall in love with potential. And one day he gonna be this and one day he gonna be that. And I had this sister circle ceremony this weekend and I walked away with so much clarity. And I said, the thing that I put on the table was that I want respect. I was like, I want respect from my partners, right? I want respect from those that, you know, I want a man to walk into my life and say, it's you, right? And not listening to anybody tell me that I can't have that. And I live in Atlanta. My ex was a musician.
Girl, and the struggle. Sending love and prayers. Girl,
all
yes.
the women, you know, it's such a thing down here. But, you know, so that's what's on my heart. What's on my heart right now is making space in my life to accept love. And I knew I couldn't do that if I kept convoluting the space with people that weren't supposed to have me in that way. And so...
People you know, that weren't supposed to have me in that way.
Isn't that beautiful?
After many years, ooh, I have
girl, yes.
I'm done. I was sad. But I said, this is going to feel so much better. And I feel really good right now. Mm. So that's what's on my heart.
Congratulations.
Hell yeah.
Y'all congratulations.
Girl. Congratulations.
Yes. Hey, listen, I'm 3 weeks fresh. So I'm with you on that. Because when you know you did the right thing, when you know you did the right thing for yourself, even as much as you love that person and love that relationship, it feels so much more different than 5 years ago when you broke up with somebody and it was just, you didn't have an understanding of what you wanted and who you were and blah, 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 right? Like, you take the moment, right?
Oh my God.
Right? But see, this being a mother of a daughter, see, this is the clarity that warms mm-hmm. my heart deep on the inside because I know that this is the experience that when it is time to sit and have that woman-to-woman talk with your daughter, mm-hmm. that this you can explain from personal experience mm-hmm. and not as a mother warning. right?
Listen.
Because as moms, we grew up with mothers giving us the warning.
The mama trauma.
But did not have mm-hmm. the actions to go with it.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you telling me to do something you haven't even done for yourself since.
Yeah, we've moved past that.
What you have here is an intentional life that's being led. And then on top of that, you're able to say to her, this is how you do it. I know because I did it.
I know from experience. Ooh. It's that mama trauma. And, you know, it, like I said, I had the sister circle this weekend and I was sitting there and we were talking about our mama trauma. And we were talking about the times that we've looked back at our parents and been like, you knew better. Why didn't you do better? Why didn't you snatch me out of that situation
and
tell me something better? Why did I have to learn about heartbreak from Jill Scott songs? Why did I have to learn about heartbreak and all these things from my friends and movies? And you were my mother. Why weren't you talking to me about this? But at the same time, not blaming my mother, but knowing that I wanted to do it differently. Mm-hmm. And so the only way, you know, we're moving past the because I said so way of parenting. Ooh. Now it's like, look at the example. Look at what I'm doing. And I can't tell you to walk in light if I'm not even doing that. And so, you know, this is such a process. And it's like when you have children, especially a little girl, you're growing as your daughter grows. I'm looking at her and I'm like, I would not want no man to treat you like this. So why am I allowing myself to go through this? You know, and a lot of it's just fear. You don't want to end up by yourself. You know, we're doing great in our business. Our friends are great. We're traveling. But at the end of the day, we want companionship. And I feel like I want more women to start admitting that.
What?
And stop acting so hard all the time.
All the time. All the time.
We're so hard. And I'm okay. I'm not okay by myself. But I also know, and I, let me take that back. I'm okay.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
But okay is not good.
I get it.
Okay is not
right. Or it's not what you want.
It's not a preference. Okay is not a preference.
Right.
Right. It's not a preference.
Like, fine.
I want to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm fine. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Have a great partner in life.
This big girl decision that you just made, the choice to step away from something that was convenient, that was probably a lot of fun at times, that filled some holes, you know, with time. You know, the fact that you've done this is a major step.
And yes.
I can tell you from personal experience that when you make room for what you really want in your life, you already know manifestation happens.
Yes.
It happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's been like that every time I've, you know, and I had to find my comfort in that space because every time I've walked away before, because we've all done it, right? How many times do you walk away before you're finally done? It probably happens like 6 times.
Oh,
I'll admit it. It's happened quite a bit.
Fair enough, mommy.
It's happened a lot. But this is the final. But every time.
Shut
she
up,
she just
Laia.
Busted my whole bubble. Laia. I was like, oh.
Laia. I've been married for 21 years, so she's like, AJ never walked away from shit.
No, I wasn't, to be honest. I was actually thinking she's telling my truth because I just walked away for the first time, so I might have to come back a few more times on this. But you better tell the truth. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm trying. Six is a lot, but I've walked away
six
times. But honestly, every time that I've walked away, I've invited in this beautiful thing. And my friend, you know, this is why your girlfriends are important. I always say your counsel, you got to have a counsel of friends like that ain't afraid to hurt your feelings, that ain't afraid to tell you when you're wrong, but will also tell you the truth. And so I'm on the phone with my friend and I'm, you know, I'm unloading and I'm telling her all this and how this is hard. And she was like, Shanisha, every time you walk away from something, something great happens. So just hold on to that. Just hold on to that and stop tripping. And so I took a deep breath and I was like, you're right. Okay. And so that's where I am right now. I'm feeling okay. I'm strong today.
Shanisha, do you have a wife?
Talk about it, Jill. Yes. Tell it. Yes. Yes.
Oh, my work wife. Her name is Brenda Nicole Moore. Yes, I do.
Good for you. Good for you.
Oh, yes. That's my boo. 10 years of friendship. That is my work wife.
A wife will get you through, honey. Look, a wife will get you through.
Listen, I got about 4 of them. Okay, I have one thing. You know, I'm really grateful for in my life. I have a really, really strong group of friends, mm-hmm. and I always say they come in like rings, right? So I have my inner ring, my outer ring, the outer ring, all of them. But that's what I do. I operate in sister circles and healing women and healing myself. And so because of that, like my friendships are the world to me.
Mm-hmm.
They are one of my pillars of grounding. I am who I am because of the women around me, and all of my friends are doing well, you know? So when I hear women talk about how they don't get along with other women, and I look at how they treat each other, I'm like, well, that, damn, I get it.
Yeah.
That's why.
Oh, yeah.
So right.
I love women. I don't like bitches.
Ain't that the truth?
I don't. I can't.
That's the truth.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't.
I don't know too many bitches. I really don't. Right. I know a lot of people.
That's the thing.
Women.
Right.
I know a lot of people.
I know
women.
So many amazing right. women. Like mm-hmm. I said, we talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, you are speaking, you're singing
you really
my song.
Are. Yes.
Because
you really
you are. You are singing yep. my song, honey. Because I love, this is one of the biggest joys of my life. And I always say that I got this, that I learned this from my mom, because my mother had this same kind of way that she functioned in her friendships.
Yes.
But it's scientific. I don't know if y'all know this, but women have been studied that they function better cognitively and emotionally when they have really healthy interactions with other women
yeah.
on a consistent basis. And so this is a real component to women's health and women's wellness, is having a good circle
of friends.
It's so
crazy
friends.
That it's always been that way, you know? Because, I mean, it's like common yeah. sense at this point. You yeah. get around some women,
exactly.
your cycles, you know, align. Like, we're right. powerful in that way.
And, but look at our tribes as Black people. Isn't that what we did? Didn't the women run the village? Didn't we birth around the tree together? Didn't we do that? You know, I talk about that in OSIS. Like, when you look at our tradition, our culture, our birthright, that's how we were raised. That's how we were birthed into this world. The men, they sat on the outside. The women came together in a circle, and the birthing mother leaned against the tree and had a baby. And they chanted for her, and they loved on her. And that baby was raised in this village. So when did we get away from that? What took us away from thinking that we no longer needed each other?
Say it, Aja.
You know,
ladies.
Say it.
Ladies. Say it. 1, 2, 3.
White supremacy.
I went in on that one. I'm gonna catch up next time. I know it now.
I know it. Girl, you have to always put the blame where the blame belongs, baby.
I hear you. Yes.
Put the blame where it belongs.
Yes,
it's very easy
Indeed.
To lose yourself if the whole world is telling you don't have any value.
Yes.
In
yes.
every
we're
possible
made.
Way. On every
put against each other.
Yeah.
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 I love this conversation because it has always come down to my favorite people. Black women are my favorite people. Yeah. Period. Hands
down. I think everybody's
down.
Claim it. I think it's yeah. everybody's.
They my favorite.
We
they
are
my favorite people.
We are.
And it's not to take anything away from anyone, but it is just really the way that I feel most full. And coming down from to this past week and having to deal with so many different aspects of my children's development and interacting with them so much, having this conversation with other Black women is that replenish that I needed. I'm sorry, I know this wasn't about me, but you know what? I had to speak on it. This was the replenish that I needed. We oftentimes feel this feeling though when we get on the phone. We'll be like, I missed it. Did you?
This is a sister circle though. Right?
It
you
is.
Know, when
yeah.
when three or more gather.
Yeah.
You know?
And the four is powerful. East, west, north, and south. When we get
yes.
together and we speak
yes.
a thing, it happens. So, you know, obviously we need to be really mindful of what we say.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I was just thinking, I was like, for those ladies that listen to, at least to listen to this show, that are those kind of ladies that are like, I don't have any girlfriends.
Maybe now you do. And maybe now you can see that you can interact with the ladies. And maybe now you need to open your heart.
And there it is. Whenever women talk about, it makes me so sad. I made a post about that last year. Women are like, I don't like other women. And I'm like, what I'm hearing is that you don't like yourself. You know, you have to be vulnerable. You got to open up your heart to other women. And a lot of us are scared of that. A lot of women are scared to do that because they don't want to be found out. You know, it's that imposter syndrome. They don't want to feel like they don't belong, or she's going to smell my dirty drawers, you know, whatever the case may be.
It's exhausting wearing that mask, though. It's like, man, I just hope that all those women know that those masks are heavy. And man,
they're
a good girlfriend can help you take that thing right off.
I always feel like friendships
yes, indeed.
Happen. Like good friendships, it's not something you have to think about. You just have to be in a space
no.
where you're doing something that you enjoy, you know, you're around people you enjoy or a place you enjoy, and a friend will just show up like, and you know it. I love when that happens. You just see somebody like
chemistry.
Girl, where you going? You know, I love those moments. Like I'm riding with you. I love when that happens.
The best relationships in my life are the ones where I've allowed myself to not only trust others, but to trust me. I trust who I am. I know who I am coming into that space. And I just feel this really great sense of confidence and trust in yourself from you. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm looking at you and your body language and the way that you speak, I'm like, girl, you trust yourself. You trust that what's coming out of your mouth is out of love, is the truth, is who you are. It's your personal truth. So that makes me feel wonderful. Like I'm looking at you like, yes, girl, we are exactly 10 years apart. You and me, I'm 42.
You all can't see her, but it's just heartwarming to see you just glowing. It's wonderful because so often, you know, our sisters are not, they're not allowing.
And especially since they tell us like the 30s, I remember when I turned 30, they were like, you know, this is the stage where you're supposed to realize who you are and what you want. Yeah. And to be honest, we've had a conversation on this show that those number formulas don't always add up like that. So the fact that you are closer to that, and I'm not putting that pressure on you, but it just feels like you are closer than most of us have been. That is beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful.
It's so many things. Y'all remember when Girlfriends came on Netflix? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I found out that Joan was only 29 years old.
What?
You know, you gotta rewatch things as an adult that you grew up on. I was like, she was 29.
Well, that,
and she was a partner in a law firm.
That house.
She owned her own home.
Yes.
The house.
The
kid, everything.
Everything, yeah.
It's like, you think that you have to have everything figured out by the time you're 30. Mm-hmm. You don't. But one thing I can say is that motherhood raised me, and a heartbreak raised me even more. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we do go through things that causes us to grow up. Mm-hmm. You know, that grow up. And it's kind of what you say, is you're like, when you're around somebody who trusts themselves, you feel comfortable, because we know that a person who's hungry will eat you. And so I love being around fulfilled women. So you're not going to eat me. I'm not going to eat you.
You should just say that again. You should just say that again, because...
Hallelujah.
By the book.
I don't got time. I don't got time. And I've met those women. I love you from afar, because you are not finna, you're not finna grow up on my soul. I know what you're trying to do. Mm. So I'm not gonna eat yours either. You know.
When
so
you're hungry, you don't wait. Say it one more time, just so I can repeat it like I said it myself. When you're hungry,
no.
You don't want
when you're hungry, you don't want nobody to eat you. So stay away from hungry people. Yeah. Stay around people.
Stay away from hungry people. Mm. They will eat you alive.
They will
I love
eat you
it.
Alive.
Honey, you said many. A word. You said a many words. Many jewels. Many jewels have been dropped, and I for one am in a happy place.
Yay.
On this
Thank
evening.
You so much for spending your time with us. We're so happy to see you, young woman. Shanisha Boswell, where can we find you, babe? Where can we find you?
You can find me on the internet at Shanisha Boswell, ShanishaBoswell.com. If you're a mama, Black Moms Blog, BlackMomsBlog.com, Black Moms Blog across all social media. And my book is wherever books are sold. You can find it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million, Walmart. Go pick up a copy, buy it for yourself, buy it for a friend, support a Black woman. I love you.
We love you too. Thank you so very much.
And we love you too.
Yes.
Bravo, sister. Somebody clap your hands.
Oh,
yes.
How do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
If you've made it to this part of the show, then there's a good chance you already know what's up. But if you don't, I'm Producer Eves, and this is the part of the episode where I give you some resources that are related to this conversation. And this time, they're all books. Laia recommends Our Bodies, Ourselves by the Boston Women's Health Book Collective. You can also check out The Joy of Sex, an illustrated sex manual, first published in the 1970s. And I know we've told you about it before, but as a reminder, there's the book Vanessa Del Rio, 50 Years of Slightly Slutty Behavior. There are encyclopedias of sexually transmitted diseases that provide info on the history and causes of STDs. Of course, sex looks different for different people, and there is a lot of nuance when it comes to sexuality, anatomy, preferences, and sensitivities. So find a book that works for you. There are plenty out there. And finally, get Shanisha Boswell's book, Oh Sis, You're Pregnant, The Ultimate Guide to Black Pregnancy and Motherhood. You can find links in the description.
Hi, if you have comments on something we said in this episode, call 866-HEY-JILL. If you want to add to this conversation, that's 866-439-5455. Don't forget to tell us your name and the episode you're referring to. You might just hear your message on a future episode.
Thank you for listening to Jill Scott Presents J.Ill, the podcast. This podcast is hosted by Jill Scott, Laya St. Clair, and Aja Graydon-Dantzler. Its executive producers are Jill Scott, Sean G., and Brian Calhoun. It's produced by Laya St. Clair and me, Eve Jeffcoat. The editing and sound design for this episode were done by Christina Loringer.
My mama was real black.
Amen to black mamas.
Yes, black mothers.
I'm like, you ain't heard these names? Because Jill, it's a whole thing. Never mind, we ain't going.
It's a whole thing. Feelings. We're not Shanisha, going back there.
I did Shanisha. Not name myself, God darn it.
Your mom was trying to look out for your life and your career. That's all.
Until I show up at the job interview.
J.Ill is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.